Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. It's Joe and Angel. Welcome to another Mailbag Monday where Angel and I take time and answer questions. We've had a ton of them come in, so we're trying to select what we think will be the most common sense ones. And so we've got a list, so we're going to jump in, Angel. Let's just start.
Okay, Joe, my son just doesn't fit in with his classmates and is taking a toll on his mental health. Have you experienced a similar problem with your kids? And if so, how did you handle it?
Sure. Everybody wants to be accepted. Everybody wants to be liked. Everybody wants to be loved. And a school is not the place to have that happen. It's just not. I've seen so many kids get frustrated trying to make other kids like them, be the funniest one in the room, be the class clown, the class bully, whatever, trying to get attention for themselves. And they've got a hole in their soul. You got to leave home knowing that you're loved just like you are. And that's a parenting issue. That's not a school issue. So you got to let your kid know, hey, you're loved just like you are. You know, warts and all, whatever it is. You don't have to be first chair flute or captain of the football team. God loves you just like you are. And if they don't know that, they're going to get their flesh involved trying to get somebody else to like them. And they're going to be the class clown, the class show off, and it's going to be frustrating. And because I've been to my 5, 10, 15, 20, I've been to my 50th high school reunion. And it's just real funny to see the people that were thought to be something, how they turned out 50 years later. It's downright entertaining. So nothing stays the same. So try to get to them, let them know, like, hey, God loves you just like you are. You don't have to prove anything to anybody. And quit trying to make people like you. Not everybody's going to like you. Listen, Jesus, the Son of God, created the universe. They didn't like him either. The Apostle Paul wrote 2/3 New Testament. They didn't like him either. There's going to be certain people that just won't ever like you. And you got to don't wear yourself out trying to make that happen.
I don't fully agree with you on that.
Oh, that's good. That's probably making a great comment.
Well, the reason is because the enemy doesn't play fair because you're a kid.
No. Nope.
And because of your age or anything. And I remember when I went through a divorce, and I would have loved to have given my kids the security that they needed that you were just talking about.
Yep.
But our situation didn't, you know, give in to that. Yep. So, and at the same time that the enemy is pounding our family, he comes in and pounds particularly my son hard at school. And it was just a flood of different things. And I remember one of the saddest moments when I was going through divorce, because we had a church and it was very successful at the time. And and I remember my son saying, her dad gave away the church. And I said, well, who did you hear that from? And he said, that really stinks, because I thought he'd give it to me. And I just saw so much of his world shatter. And at the same time, some things happened at school, and he liked a little girl, and she was not the nicest little girl. And so a lot of different things happened at once. And I realized that just because you're young does not mean that the devil plays fair. I remember when I couldn't get pregnant for 10 years. And I remember I went to this meeting, and there was this man there, and I walked into the meeting, and he said, I came in late. So I'm walking in, and he goes, ma'am, don't sit down, come over here. And he just started prophesying over me. And I'm like, oh man. Cause I mean, like, if there's somebody prophetic in the building, he's going to pick me out every time. And I'm always like, you know, they look good. You can get them. He's got a green shirt on. Get him. I'm wearing gray. But anyway, he said, and at this time I didn't know if I could have children or not. And he said, I see a child. Part of it, there was a lot said, but he said, I see a child, no children. And praise and worship is written on his chest, and he will help usher in the coming of the Lord. Now, through the years, I've watched the devil fight him over that totally. Now, the gift has been there since he was been a little boy. Yep. He can touch an instrument and play it.
Yep.
He can play by ear. He went to school and learned how to read. I mean, he's just an incredible musician. But I've watched through the years that the enemy has tried to fight him over that gift. And so, you know, I just have to hold steady and say, you know, God, when I'm praying for him, you said, this is what you said. And just kind of remind him, God, remember when you said this about my son? Do you remember the promises that you made? And in every one of those circumstances, it is hard to see your child hurt. It is hard to see your child wounded. And all I can say is through that, the best thing you can do is be a safe place to land. The best thing you can do is love on them. And, you know, like with my daughter, there was a point I said, you know what, I think we need to go to counseling. And I've probably told the story here before, but we go to counseling and I knew the counselor, I'd known him for years. And he goes, what are you ladies here for today? Because she wanted me to go to the first one. She was in high school and she felt very rejected by her father. And I said, he goes, what are you ladies here for? And I burst into tears and started crying. And my daughter looks at me like, I thought we were here for me. And so needless to say, that was the last counseling appointment I was invited to, but with her. So there's some things do require stuff like that, the special hand or maybe a pastor or counselor from the church. So it is a challenge. But what I would do is start write it down on index cards. Every scripture in the Bible, what it says about you, and say every week we're going to learn one of these scriptures.
That's right.
And who I am.
Yes.
In Christ. And that there's nothing that can bring more confidence than the word.
That's right.
And so I would just encourage you to do that.
Otherwise, you're like a dog chasing his tail. When you finally catch it, it's going to hurt. You're chasing the wrong thing. They're trying to be accepted by everybody, loved by everybody. Not everybody's going to love you, not going to accept you. So you need to find out who does accept me, whether the God that created the universe loves me just like I am. I'm accepting the beloved. I can run boldly to the throne of grace, get mercy in time of need. It goes back to the word of God, which it says, whom shall we teach the word of God? Those weaned from the mother's breast, line upon line, precept on precept, here a little, there a little. Yeah, when are you supposed to start teaching a kid as soon as they can listen? Teach them what? The word of God. This is who you are, son. This is who we are, sugar. You're not what they say. You're who God says you are.
Right.
And so you get that in them deep. If you don't get that in them deep early, they're going to try to make the world like them, and it'll never happen. It will never happen. You'll be frustrated. We deal with so many families that go to church, but they don't know the word of God, mm-hmm. and they're frustrated. They're going to counseling. They psychologists. They're putting them in homes. They're trying to get. It's a dead end street. You got to get the word of God in them. They don't know who they are.
Well, because the world doesn't have the answer.
No, it does not. But they try to make you think.
But that's why we look to God, because that's where the good news comes in.
That's called the good news.
All right, Joe. Love, love, love. Mailbag Mondays. I speak for all of us when I say we are so thankful for you answering our questions. Now to mine. As a wife, how much of the responsibility of taking care of the home is on me? For me, I think it should be 50-50, but I know everyone is different, so there may not be a set percentage. Do you have any advice for us to have less fighting about this?
Yes, you just need to do everything. Because if you're waiting on him, listen, we hit so many couples. When's he going to do this? When's he going to get this? When is he going to? He'll never get it, lady. You're not God. If God can't make him do it, who do you think you are? You're not God. You're not going to. You're frustrating me. You're accusing him, making fun of. And it's like it's not going to work. So just go ahead and do your job, and he'll eventually. Somebody's going to talk to him. And your wife sure does a lot around your house. Never thought much about it. Well, she does. Somebody will cross his path. And you can pray for him. You can pray for your husband. Lord, take blindness off his mind. Lighten eyes of his understanding. Talk to him when he goes to sleep, when he wakes up. Send labors across his path. Otherwise, it's going to be you talking to him, and he's not going to listen. It never works. It never works. You got to turn him over to God and just do your job. And it's like, is it fair? No, but that's nothing. The Bible says life's fair. It's never fair. But you do have a way out. God said there's always a way out. Even in your marriage. Well, how am I going to do that? Well, when we need to be 50-50, it's never 50-50. And if it is 50-50 for a day, tomorrow it's going to go 20-80. It's going to change every day because we're all still growing up. We're not all mature yet. We're headed toward maturity, but we're not there yet. So just relax, be yourself, and do what you need to do.
Hopefully there'll become a question today that we actually agree on.
Yeah. That's what makes us really good.
I don't agree with that again because
tune in next time for another agreement in prayer.
Well, because today, I mean, that would have worked great if we were still in the Leave It to Beaver stage of life. But today, women have it, a lot of times equal responsibility to bringing in, providing income for the home and everything else. And look, when my kids were young, I felt like I was a taxi driver for a very large percentage of the time. So to say, sweetie, you're exhausted. I know you are, but I'm sorry. You got to go wash those sheets and empty the dishwasher and not do your part is crazy. So here's what I did one time. Well, I used to be a claims adjuster. And in claims, one of the biggest arguments you would get into with customers would be with parking lots. Like I was backing out of the parking space. They should have seen me. Well, I was coming down the aisle. You should have seen me. So you go, who was wrong? Well, the person backing has the greater responsibility. But so I remember a great lesson. I listened to somebody one day and I said, flip it around on them. So how would you feel if you were coming down the aisle looking for an empty parking space and someone just backed into your door or something. So that would help is to flip it around. So one time my son was probably 14 and, I said, I am not touching that room again. And I didn't for a couple of weeks. And I go in there and it just looked like five boys had lived in a college dorm and had a big frat party and nobody cleaned anything when I went in there. So I go in there and he's just sitting in the middle of all the junk. I'm telling you, there were plates, there was clothes, there was just junk everywhere and trash. And none of it hit the garbage can, was pretty empty. So I finally said, son, does this bother you? And he's playing a video game and he looks up at me and he looks around for a second and he goes, not really. So sometimes it's just like, you know, somebody in the family may be just a neat freak and the other person really doesn't care. I say, choose your battles. What is really valuable to you? Like for me, I can't stand dishes in a sink.
Our sink's very clean.
And
there's no dirty dishes in my sink right now. And I've not even been in the kitchen, but I know there are no dirty dishes.
And toilets are big to me. But yes. But I hate doing floors. I do not like them. Never have liked them. And this house has nothing but tile in it.
Woo! Slick.
I wish I had a bunch of carpets so I could get my little, those little robo things or whatever you call them. Just but anyway, so I would do what Joe said when you preached on Sunday. Get your kids involved. Here are some chores for you to do. It should not fall completely on you.
Nope.
Give
your house to your kids. You do the dishes. You clean the toilet. You mow the grass. You fold the towels. You do this. And you give them jobs to do. Most kids have no jobs.
And I think it would be fair to say to your spouse, particularly if you're working, which most people have a two working family income today. Here's the jobs. We're just going to split up the jobs altogether. So that's what I think. You heard what Joe thinks. And
well, we've told adult couples, like, he never picks up his clothes. So then leave them in the floor. Leave them there. Don't wash them. Don't pick them up. He expects you to do that. You're not his mother. If he drops his nasty underwear, leave him there for a week. Leave him there for a month. Let the dog chew the tail out of him if he needs to. He'll eventually learn, did you not wash my clothes? No, baby. You know where the washer is. It's got two buttons on the top, you know, hot, cold, medium. Push a button and wash your own clothes.
It works for you just like it does for me. This is funny. When Joe and I first got married, I am an obsessive laundry person. I am extreme. Always have been. I mean, I was raised in a family. If you walk by a towel and touched it, that's it.
Yep, it's dirty. Got to go. Me, I could shower with the same towel for a week because I always clean off. I'm very clean. Shower twice a day. Hang my towel up. Let it dry, and I'll use it again the next day. That drives Angel nuts. You can use that towel again? Yeah, I'm gonna probably use it for 6-7 days.
You it's clean. I can tell you, in our married life, you never had that option because if I see it,
oh Lordy,
I will clean it. And
opposites attract, you know. That'll help somebody. Opposites attract. You married your opposite. You just didn't know that.
So look, divide up in the family what everybody's strengths is. Yep. Mine is laundry. It is not floors.
Yep.
Nor is it windows.
Yep.
I can do them, but it will be.
Or the cat litter basket.
So we got a cat, just so y'all know.
We don't like cats.
Yeah, personally, I'm not a huge cat fan.
No, we don't like cats at all.
But we live next to a protected area. So there's a big, big swamp land behind us, I guess. Joe always says, I want to see a gator. I go, we'll just walk back there about 50 feet, and you can see probably several of them. And so we got a cat because we had little mice, and we tried to hire people to come and kill those mice.
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't.
Mm-mm.
But that one cat, bless his heart, a creation of God.
He did his job.
We tolerate the cat box and the litter box.
No, Joe does it because I got a weak stomach. But anyways, let's go back to what we're supposed to be doing today. Instead of, we went down a bunny trail there. Sorry, everybody. Sorry. It's a little.
No, but they need to know this is how marriages work. You got to work these things out. And
one night I was trying to clean out the litter box, put new in, and I started gagging so hard. I have a very weak stomach.
Oh, man.
Even when my kids were little, I was not the strongest. That's not my most proud moment. I was going to tell you, that's not my biggest strength. But so Joe goes, don't ever touch that again. I'll do it from now on.
Yep.
Which was the goal anyway. Okay, Joe, my mother is getting older and we need to make the hard decision whether to have her move in with us or to have her go to a nursing home. I really don't know what to do. I think the nursing home can help her best, but feel guilty that she may feel lonely after being there for me all of my life. We both had to make those decisions.
Yes, we did.
My mother had Parkinson's disease and just died very recently. And my father a few years before her. And her Parkinson's disease had, we had hired someone to help her for a long time, but her Parkinson's disease had escalated to the place that she had to have a home.
Professional care.
So we put her in a very nice home and we'd all go by and see her every day and made sure everybody was good to her. Of course, my mother would have told us all and told them had anybody not been good to her. So that was never, we weren't concerned about that. No matter what the Parkinson's did, she could take care of herself as far as her feistiness. But so for us as a family too, you have to come to a place where you go now, my family is here, right here now. My children, and everything, they've gone on and they're adults now and they have their own life. And so, the responsibility is to take care of them, but how is the best way? And I have to be honest, I think it's wonderful when people take in a loved one like that, but it is a strain on the family, a very big one.
Well, it becomes a full-time job. And well, don't you love your parents? It's got nothing to do about love. It's got to do with what's right. And so, I love my parents. My dad died. My mom was still around, still very healthy, and ran the farm for another 20 years. But she developed Alzheimer's. And we didn't know what Alzheimer's was. And so she'd wander off late at night, walk down the road for a mile and fall in a ditch. And we finally had to close up our home in Oklahoma and move where she lived in Tennessee, and I had to live there for 5 years. Wow, she needed help. And we realized during that 5 year time, about 2 years into it, we can't do this. I'm traveling every weekend. My wife wore out trying to take care of this lady that can't take care of herself. Like, you got to put her in a home. And so, well, that's just a nice decision. But then what's that home going to cost? Can we afford the home? So there's all kinds of homes. There's skanky ones, there's expensive ones, and you're trying to find, and even the expensive, that doesn't mean the people there are doing their job. You got to ask questions and meet the people. And so Angel's able to find a great place for her mom. I had to find
actually my brother did it, and he would, on top of that, hired a woman that would
great.
Sit with my mom.
Oh, it was great. She was excellent. She's outstanding Christian.
She's part of her family now. Yeah. She really is. And she would sit with my mom, and then she would roll her outside in her chair.
Took care of her.
And then if my mom wanted, my mom loved fast food, and which I like it a lot too. I always attribute it to being working with teenagers, but I guess it's just in the genetics.
Well, everything's different. Every family's different. My mom had Alzheimer's, and so
they said, "Don't leave. Don't
ever take her out." So we would go take her out of the home, take her for a ride. One day we bring her back, and mom would never remember. I said, "This is not where I live," and it wasn't her house. She lived a mile up the road in a nice home, but you can't live by yourself. And I said, "No, mom, this is where you stay." "No, I don't stay here." And she would fight us. So finally, the brain doctor said, "Quit taking her out of that house. Leave her in that medical facility. There's great meals, entertainment. She thinks that's home. If you take her out, she gets confused." So every situation is different. Every disease is different. Every family is different. What can you do? Because eventually what's going to happen, you'll wear yourself out, and then you drop dead, and then they're still here, and somebody else got to take care of them.
Well, and that my father was a great example of that, because he took care of my mom, and it really did wear him out.
Yes, it did. And he's not here either.
No, he passed before she did.
Yep.
And my mom's mind was fine.
Yeah, sharp mind.
But
smart lady.
Yeah, but
and so every family is different. So, but you got to make a long-term decision. Like, it's not because I'm your kid or you're my parents. Like, what's going to be best for all of us?
Yeah.
And what can we afford? What can we do? And you got to have, I tell people, first thing I do is meet with your pastor. Hopefully you're in a good church, but then meet with the pastor, meet with some professional people. Like, what are our options? What's the options here? Meet other people who have gone through the same thing. There's other people, you know, their parents have gone through the same thing. What did you do? How did you handle it? And you'll find that some are good, some are bad, and some are just downright dumb. But you got to start asking questions. So we finally found one medical doctor that realized my mom, who had Alzheimer's, they said, "Well, she's going to die from this." So, well, everybody's going to die, Doc. We're trying to keep her alive. And that's, we finally found one third of the, what are the brain doctors called?
Neurologists.
A young neurologist from Boston said, "No, we can stop this from spreading." I said, "You got to be kidding." "No, we can stop it." And we found out, did some research. So we just loaded mom up on a lot of orange juice and vitamin C, and it stopped the spread of Alzheimer's. And her last year and a half was wonderful. Well, why? Well, we loaded up on vitamin C. And that's just one small thing. So you got to start asking questions. What are our options? Because you will wear yourself out. And you can't do it out of guilt. Guilt never does anything good. "Well, I feel bad." Well, that's not good, people, because you're going to live a short life. You can't do what you feel bad about. You got to do what you feel good about. Okay, this is going to be best.
And fortunately, we were very fortunate. My father had left my mom an insurance policy that was, it did enable us to put her in a very nice facility.
Yes.
But it was still hard. It was very hard because, you know, it doesn't matter how nice it is. When you try to tell your mother or father, "We're going to have to make this decision," you know,
they're not going to hug your neck.
No, it was hard.
But for both of us, it was the best thing for both of our parents. It was the absolute best thing. And they were much better off because we could not have done that.
She had to have such regulated medicine.
Yes.
Therapy, blah, 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 blah.
Yes. And daily.
Somebody would have had to stop their life
and
just given in to that. So, and she did finally get over it. And she fell in love with all the nurses. And
oh, she was great, man.
They all loved her.
Yeah, laid it on her hand and foot. She was good.
So, anyway.
So there is a way. There's a way, but you can't do it yourself. You will wear yourself out. I'm just telling you, we're veterans. We're veterans that have done this. We loved our parents.
Yeah, and we would go by and see them all the time. Yes. As a matter of fact, it's interesting. My mother has been gone for, what, probably 3 months now, four. And I still.
It's not funny, but it is.
When I go to the red light by where I'd have to turn to go in to see her, I still almost naturally
turn. You get your blinker on. I say, babe, where are you going? Oh, I'm sorry, mom's not there. No, she's not. She's in heaven. She's doing great. You don't have to go down there anymore.
Yeah.
We don't have to write them a check anymore.
Yeah. So anyway. Hey guys, thanks so much for being with us today. We sure love you.
Yes.
And hope you have a great week.
Yes. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.